The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What are the major eschatological judgments in the Bible, and where do you find them? When Christians are resurrected, what will their resurrection bodies look like, and what will they be like? Thank you for tuning in to the Grace Evangelical Society's podcast and radio ministry, Grace in Focus. In a moment, Bob Wilkin and Steve Elkins will be along to answer these questions, and we hope you'll stay tuned. By the way, the Grace Evangelical Society is starting an online seminary that will be free for all who maintain at least a B average. You can earn an MDiv degree. For more information and to register, go to our website, faithalone.org. You will find there a tab for seminary in our navigation menu. Everything you need is right there, including how to contact us for more about the seminary. That's faithalone.org. And find seminary in our navigation menu. I'll repeat this at the end of today's discussion, which starts right now. Here are Bob Wilkin and Steve Elkins.
Do you have a question there, Steve?
Sure do. Scott writes and he says, which book is recommended for the in-depth study of there being two judgments? Of course, there's many judgments spoken of, but I think he means the Great White Throne Judgment and the Believer's Judgment called the Bema or Judgment Seat of Christ.
Yeah, I would suggest that the best place to start is the book called The Bible. And I would especially recommend the parable of the minas in Luke 19:11-27, which talks about the judgment seat of Christ, verses 16 through 26, and the great white throne judgment in verse 27. I'd recommend 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, or 1 Corinthians 3:5-15, or 2 Corinthians 5:9-10 for the judgment seat of Christ. I'd recommend Revelation 20:11-15 for the great white throne judgment. So you start with the Bible, but outside of the Bible, I like Zane Hodges' book, Grace in Eclipse. I have a book called The Road to Reward. There was a book by Samuel Hoyt called The Judgment Seat of Christ that I think is well worth reading and is helpful. It's important to recognize there's at least two, actually. Catherine Wright has written some blogs about the fact there's more than two eschatological judgments or last day's judgments. The judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne are the two major ones, but there's also the judgment of the sheep and the goats. There's probably some separate judgment for the judgment of Old Testament believers and probably a separate judgment for millennial believers. But what Scott's asking about is the two major judgments, and that's what I would recommend.
Okay, another writes in, his name is Steve. He says, I'm curious about the resurrection body and whether Christians will look the same. I have a friend who is not too happy with the way his features turned out, examples, or his nose, ears, height, etc. Now that he is an older gentleman, he's not happy about his gray hair, wrinkles, and that kind of thing. Somebody told him at the resurrection, believers will look 33 because Jesus was 33 when he rose or when he died and rose. I don't focus on those things now that I'm older. However, I want to be sensitive to his feelings. Also, when Christ's resurrection occurred, his body still had scars. He pointed that out to me as well. How do I encourage him?
Yeah, basically we're in the area of speculation here. We only have a few examples of people who've died who come back and appear. When King Saul calls up Samuel at the Witch of Endor, this old man appears. Samuel looks like an old man. Well, that doesn't prove that we're going to be the age at which we died, and that's the way we're going to look, but that might suggest that. At the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah appear. Well, Elijah never died, but Moses did, and we're not told how old either one looked, or even how the disciples recognized. How did Peter, James, and John know this was Moses and Elijah? Did they have name tags? But the truth is, they did appear and they look like themselves. And Samuel looked like himself. And Jesus looked like himself after he rose from the dead.
Not all the time, though.
No, well, he even then did. But in my view, when they didn't recognize him, it was because of divine blinding.
Oh.
Like when the women came and they didn't recognize him. And in fact, Mary's asking him if he's the gardener.
Yeah.
That's because he was blinded. But then when God takes away the blinders, she grabs him and recognizes who this is. And the same thing with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Their eyes were hindered for a time, but then they got it. But in any case, and by the way, Jesus was probably older than 33 when he died. We're not really sure. The only reference in Scripture we have is we're told he's not yet 50. and you're saying you know Abraham. And that's when Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. So we know he was less than 50, and everybody acknowledged that. But his exact age, we don't know exactly. But that doesn't prove we're all going to be that age. I would suggest that we're going to look like we look now, either in the prime of life or at the age at which we died, but with perfect mental capabilities, with perfect physical characteristics. The only one with scars and handicaps, it seems to me, will be the Lord Jesus Christ. And those won't be handicaps. They'll just be glorious scars. The rest of us are going to be the way we were intended to be.
While you're speculating, let me ask another question. In the resurrection, there's not going to be marriage or giving in marriage, but we're like the angels, says Jesus. I'd like to be with Marcy in the kingdom. How's it all going to shake out?
I think you may well be. Maybe we'll live in family compounds. I don't know. The fact that we're not given in marriage doesn't mean we're not going to have close association with our spouse. Or what about our kids? Or what about our grandkids? Why not close association? Why not compounds?
And, you know, I think 1 Thessalonians 2:19 indicates there's definitely close association. Like, who is our glory or joy or crown of rejoicing at Christ's appearance?
Right.
Is it not even you? And so there's obviously relationship that Paul's going to have with these Thessalonian believers in the future.
Right. Or we also told that we're to use unrighteous mammon so that people will invite us into their eternal mansions.
Those friends that we used our monies to share the gospel with, or maybe to ministries that shared the gospel with them, and they will greet us into the eternal dwellings.
Right. Or this could even be for believers that we've helped along the way, and those believers will invite them. So it makes sense to use the time, talent, and treasure God has given us to serve Him. And the way we serve Him is by evangelizing and discipling and helping other believers or unbelievers. As we do that, those people, if they're overcomers, they're going to invite us into their glorious homes.
Yeah, and in the book of Revelation, when John has that great vision and he's in heaven, there's people communicating up there.
Yeah. What I'm suggesting is every one of us has an ideal body, and because of the fall, we don't experience that. There's lots of birth defects. There's lots of ways in which we have injuries or we have illnesses and things, and we don't achieve that ideal. You know, I'm 6'5" Who knows? Maybe I could have been 7 feet tall if I had eaten differently and grown up in a different home, or maybe I achieved what I was supposed to achieve. I only weigh 185 pounds. That's kind of skinny. Maybe I was intended to be 220, but I just haven't realized my potential. I don't know. But the truth is, there is an ideal that God has for all of us, and it's not the same. Some are intended to be huskier, and some thinner, and some are extroverted, and some are introverted. And I expect in the kingdom, we're going to achieve the ideal form that God intended for us, both physically and in terms of our emotions and everything else. And regardless of the age, I mean, when I'm in the kingdom with a glorified body, does it really matter to me whether I look like I'm 80 or whether I look like I'm 33? You remember seeing the movie The Wrath of Khan? It was one of the Star Trek movies, and Ricardo Montalban played this guy who was genetically engineered. And he was about 65 years old, but he had the strength of 10 young men, and he had the intellect of 10 geniuses, and he was an amazing physical specimen at 65. He could beat up any number of young people. He could outthink anybody. Mm. Well, if I was 99 years old in the way I looked, but I could run a 4-minute mile and I could dunk, you know, I could do all these things, I wouldn't feel like I was limited. Now, by the way, and this is quite speculation, my guess is if I played golf for eternity, I would never be as good a golfer as you. Probably never be a scratch golfer. And probably if I played basketball forever, I'd probably never be a LeBron James or a Michael Jordan. We all have certain limitations, and they're God-given limitations. We also have opportunities, and they're God-given opportunities. Well, some of the people who are 5'6" end up 6'6", maybe. I tend to think we're going to achieve whatever God intended for our body, and it's going to be perfect.
What do you think about the passage that says, Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered the heart of man all that God has prepared for those who love him. Is that talking about this life, or is it talking about the future life?
Well, I think it probably has ramifications for this life, but he's talking about the next life. Mm-hmm. When he talks about those who love him, he's talking about the believers who love him. Remember, mm-hmm. Paul mm-hmm. said, right. I have fought the fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. There's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. Mm-hmm. And so loving him and loving his appearing are conditions for eternal reward.
What do you think about this verse? Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Do you think we can just leave it that it's going to be so great it's unfathomable?
I would definitely agree that we only have glimpses of the glory to come. And it's far beyond what we can think or imagine. And so it's not bad for us to speculate as long as our speculation is based on Scripture. But at the end of the day, we recognize it's going to be greater than that. Mm-hmm. It's going to be awesome. The coming kingdom is never going to be boring. That may be hard for us to grasp. But we're never going to think, oh, it's always the same. It's not going to be always the mm-hmm. same. We're going to have constantly changing experience. How? I don't know. For one thing, I think we're going to explore all the planets in the entire universe. Mm. I think that we'll end up living on various planets and solar systems and galaxies and things. But even if that's not true, even if everyone is on the new Earth forever, it's going to be amazing, as you say. So we should look forward to it with great excitement.
And keep grace in focus.
Amen. Thanks, Steve, and thank you all.
Grace Evangelical Society is starting an online seminary where you can take specific classes or earn an MDiv degree. First year Greek starts week of August the 6th. Many other classes start the week of August the 20th. Go to our website, faithalone.org. You will find there a tab for seminary in our navigation menu. Everything you need is right there, including professors, application deadlines, class schedules, and how to contact us for more about the seminary. If you're interested, we need to hear from you soon. For information or to register, that's faithalone.org and find seminary in our navigation menu. Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition, we have all kinds of free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode, all about repentance, should it be a part of the normal Christian life? Please join us. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.